Let's stand and reverence the Word of God. Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2. I want to begin reading in verse 14. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, he was speaking to Ruth, "Come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. But when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I looked that up last night, and this will come into the message a little later, but it was, that was a bushel and 3 pints, and a bushel weighed 48 pounds. So some of you guys that know what about a 50-pound sack of corn is like, that would be similar, only bigger, it being barley, but it would be similar in weight to that. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou?" Or where did you work today? "Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until I have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, this is what I want to preach on this morning. These three words: it is good. I don't know how many times I've read the book of Ruth. I don't know how many times I've preached out of the book of Ruth. But I tell you, God took those three words on Thursday when I was reading through the book of Ruth again, and they began to swell in my heart and in my life. It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to look into the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the characters in the Bible that encourage us. We can relate to their lives, our Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, there's spiritual lessons to be learned, even our Father, in these earthly stories. And God, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. I pray, dear Father, today that you would help us with this little thought: it is good. And God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen and amen. I'd like to, as briefly as I possibly can, share this thought with you today. It is good. It is good. I'm going to probably preface the message by saying this, that I believe that Naomi knows something now that she didn't know when she left Moab. In other words, God is beginning to reveal to Naomi. She said, "Don't call me Naomi, that means pleasant, but call me Mara, which means bitter. The Lord, the Almighty, hath dealt bitterly with me." Naomi is coming out of Moab, and I'll get into that story a little bit later, but she knows some things after Ruth spends one day in the field that she had no idea when she left Moab. All she knew was she wanted to go home. She had been away from home long enough. And there's some things that I want us to know in this message that God, I believe, wants us to know in this message, and I'm going to give them to you this morning. The first thing that God would want us to know in the book of Ruth is that failure is not final. I'm probably looking at a congregation of people this morning that, like Pastor, can look back on your life and thank God that failure is not final. When Elimelech led his family down into, they left the house of bread, they left Bethlehem, they left the house of praise, and they went down to Moab. Moab was God's washpot. I studied it out. It was a 7 to a 10 day journey, probably 50 to 60 miles. It was steep and the terrain was rough. And when they went down there, beloved, listen, they went to sojourn. In other words, their intention was just to stay a little while because there's no bread in Bethlehem. There's no bread there, and there was a famine in the land. So they picked up and they went somewhere where actually they weren't supposed to go. Amen. Can I say this to you this morning? A lot of God's people pick up in their lives along the way and go somewhere that they're not supposed to go. But I want you to know we can rejoice this morning in this. Failure is not final. Amen. God was going to look down on Naomi and look down on Ruth. And God was going to give them another opportunity. Amen. And I believe that what is going on in Naomi's heart, in Naomi's life right here, when she says that it is good, she knows that somebody took notice of her. She knows that this is not natural. And I can't prove this. I don't know this for sure. But I'm wanting to think, beloved, that she didn't know a whole lot about working in the field. She didn't know a whole lot about gleaning barley. But I'll tell you what Boaz told his men. He said, listen, they were only supposed to glean the corners of the field after that. He said, don't you just let her out there in the corner. Said, you let her among the sheaves. And he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to pick some of that barley and I want you to drop it on purpose. So all she has to do is scoop it up and put it in her sack. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm talking to a group of people this morning. If we look back in our lives, even when we have failed the Lord, thank God it's not final. And God has come along in our life time and time and time again and dropped handfuls of purpose, amen, to help us to make another step, amen. I tell you this, yes, thank God, Brother Michael, there's been a few souls saved. You know what? People need to be saved, but you know what? Pastors need to see people saved. Brother Don, that helps us to take another step and want to go another mile. It encourages us to understand the Word of God's still working and the Spirit of God's still working and lives are still being changed. And Sister Shelby, when you did all that smiling and laughing and cutting up, you don't know what that done for Pastor the other night, just to see that God ministered for a few minutes and pulled you out out of your trouble, amen, and gave you a joy in your heart and in your life as you fellowship with God's people. I'm just telling you, I serve a God that comes around right on time and drops those handfuls of purpose, and all we have to do is come along and glean what God has given us in His goodness. It is good. I believe that Naomi, she's finding out here, you know, maybe I'm not as empty as I thought I was. She went out full. And the Bible said, I come home empty. And I'm telling you, I believe God is encouraging Naomi. You may have come in here this morning, you may feel like you're as empty as you can be. But you know what? If God will help you, beloved, you can understand failure's not final. And you can understand that you're not as empty as maybe you think you are. There's a God in heaven that's taking notice of you. Amen. Let me give you the second thing in the message today. It is good to know that failure is not final, but there's something else that God dealt with my heart about. And I want our young people especially to listen to this. It's good to know the right person to follow. You say, what do you mean? Turn back to chapter number 1. In chapter number 1, I'm not going to read it all, but you have Ruth. And you have her sister, Orpah. And Naomi encourages them both to go back to their own people. Not to go with her. She's going to Bethlehem. But you see, that's not their people. She wants them to go back to their people. She's miserable. And she doesn't understand the plan of God at this time. She's going to know it later. And she says, go back. Just go back. And so Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and went back to her people and went back to her little G-O-D-S's, her little gods. But I want you to notice what happened with Ruth. Look in verse number 16 of chapter number 1. I'll read verse 15 as well. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods, little G and with an S. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, thank God, it's with a big old G and no S on the end of it, will be my God. I'm telling you, beloved, Ruth figured out, listen, I'm not supposed to follow the Moabites. I'm going to follow this woman to the house of God. The house of bread, the house of praise. I'm going to follow her back to Bethlehem. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's important in life, beloved. If you want to wind up way down the way, like Brother Don and like myself and like many other saints of God in this building, and be able to say it is good, it's important that you follow the right person, amen. The person that's not leading you away from the things of God, but the person that's leading you to the things of God. I tell you, there was a time when our public school system was pointing people towards the things of God, amen. They got on the intercom when I was in elementary school and read the Bible and had prayer over the intercom. There's enough in this world to point people away from the things of God. God said, you find somebody that it's going in the right direction, and you get behind them, and you follow them, amen. They'll lead you to the things of God. Amen. Your people are going to be my people. Your God. Now listen, not many of us take kindly to change. But this woman, beloved, knew. Even, listen to me carefully. I don't know how to say this without just saying it. I don't know that I've ever thought about it. But it seems to me like in the book of Ruth, Brother Don, that Elimelech is held accountable. Naomi gets to live. Naomi gets to return. So is it possible that Naomi didn't really want to go to Moab, but she did what she was supposed to do? She followed her husband. Is anybody following me right there? If you know the Bible, amen. Elimelech said, we're going to Moab. And she didn't buck, and she didn't kick, and she didn't fight. And she went on, amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God will hold the husband accountable for how he leads his household. Yes, he will. But God will hold the lady accountable for how she follows in that household. Amen. And I don't know this for sure, but I believe with all of my heart that it's very possible that my friend, that Naomi was not nearly as backslid as the rest of them. Ruth saw something in Naomi's life that she knew was real. Amen. I don't know what she saw. I don't know if she heard her pray. I don't know if she seen her reading her Bible. I don't know if she heard her quoting verses of Scripture. But she saw enough in her life to say, I'm going with you. You're going back to Bethlehem. Your God's going to be my God and your people's going to be my people. It was going to be totally different. But she was willing to take that chance and take that gamble because she knew. Beloved, how many of you can remember before you got saved knowing that somebody had something that you needed and you didn't have? Say amen. They had that peace, Brother Michael. They had that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. They had that contentment in their life. They had that joy in their life. And you knew that you were lacking that in your life. We know that failure, it's good to know that failure is not final. It's good to know the right person to follow. Let me give you this. It's important. It's good to know you're in the right field. I'm going to give you something today. These are things that God just spoke to my heart about. Things that I really never thought about before. But you read over in chapter number 2. Read it with me, please. I believe it's in verse number 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. This is Ruth. And her hap was the light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, I'm going to say something right here, and I don't believe God will hold it against me. But when Ruth made up her mind and said, your God's going to be my God, it's the big G-O-D, there was no more chances after that. It wasn't just happenstance that she ended up. There was a God, Brother Don, above that knew exactly where she needed to be. Though she didn't know it, and though Naomi didn't know it, the Father in heaven knew exactly what field that she needed to be in. She wasn't there by chance. Let me say something to you this morning. We're fixing to celebrate 10 years at Bible Way in May. It's not just by chance that I ended up in. I never saw it coming. Amen. I thought I'd die in the prisons preaching to those men in the prisons. I was enjoying it and God was blessing it. And that's what I thought I'd do the rest of my life. And you can't just say, well, Brother Rick Hall happened to call pastor, or it just happened that he ended up. No, 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 no. I have a Father in heaven. Amen. He's not my little G-O-D with an S on the end of it. He's the God of heaven. He's my Father. He's in control of my life. He's a leading me. And I thank God I can stand and say, I'm in the field where my Father wants me to be. A lot of people will move. A lot of people will change jobs and never consider, where are we going to church? I'm telling you, beloved, for the child of God, that ought to be the first consideration. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. It's good to know. You say, Pastor, why did Naomi say it is good? I'll tell you why. In a moment of time, she realized that Ruth was in the perfect field. The field of God's choosing. Amen. In the field, I like this, with her kinsman redeemer. Amen. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. You cannot improve on the will of God for your life. When you are what God wants you to be, where God wants you to be, when God wants you to be there, you cannot improve on that. Say amen. And it's a blessing. I believe, beloved, listen, the rest of that harvest, I don't believe you had to drag Ruth out of bed. I believe she got up a-grinning and couldn't wait to get back in the field. Say amen. Because in that field are the blessings. In that field is the harvest. Say amen. In that field, beloved, listen, there's the blessings of God flowing in a man or woman's heart and in her soul. I thought about the song yesterday. Well, listen, the Bible, the songwriter said, my house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, a lot of people think they're doing God a favor when they come to church. We come in here to worship, amen, and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're supposed to go back out there in that field, amen, and find someone and tell them what Jesus has done for us. Amen. It's good to know failure's not final. Good to know the right person to follow. And it's also good to know that you're in the right field. But I close with this morning. It's good to know something of God's family. Turn over in chapter number 4 with me for just a moment. Let's do just a little bit of reading right here and talk just a little bit about this kinsman redeemer. You see, beloved, there was a nearer kinsman. I'm not going to read it all. And the nearer kinsman, he was kin, and he was able to redeem, but he was not willing to redeem. In order for a person to be a kinsman redeemer, they have to be kin, which Boaz was. They have to be able to redeem, which Boaz was. They have to be willing to redeem, which Boaz was. And they have to be willing to pay the price to redeem, which Boaz was. Now you can see why Pastor in days gone by is called Boaz and associated him with our heavenly Boaz. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is kin. He left heaven, came down here to be born of a virgin, took on a body like you and I have, tempted in all points like as you and I are. The Lord Jesus, beloved, listen, is able to redeem. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. Say amen. And thank God Almighty, the Lord Jesus is willing to redeem. He rejoices, beloved, in being able to redeem someone from their sinful condition and put them in the family of God. And then the Lord Jesus was willing to pay the price to redeem. He went to Calvary. The Word of God said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You say, Pastor, what does she know now as good as she knows something about the family of God? Well, the Bible said here in verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And by the way, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what God honors. I just need to stop and say that in this generation. Amen. Amen. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Amen. That's the right way to do it. Get married. Amen. Then have children. Amen. Love one another. Serve God together. You say, well, Pastor, I failed in that area. Well, just pick up the pieces, amen, and make it as right as you can. Amen. But we're living in a generation where it's as common as a cold. Just live together. Listen, a man and a woman, it ain't like trying out a car. Say amen. There's supposed to be a commitment. There's supposed to be a love one for another. We want God's blessing on our life. Watch this now. He took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women, they said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. You see, it's looking like, because Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech are dead, that there's not going to be an inheritance. No one to go on and carry the name. But God, he intervenes and he's teaching us something about the family. Watch this now. And the Bible said here, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, watch that, I love that phrase, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. You see, we sometimes get it worked out in our mind. You remember over in chapter number 1 when Naomi said to Ruth and to Orpah, said, if I was to bear again, I'm old, but if I was to bear a son again, would you wait on him? In other words, that's the manly, or the mankind, this side, the fleshly way of thinking. Amen? And so she says, go on back. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Ruth, she exhibited a great faith when she said, I've seen enough in your life. I want to go where you're going. I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God. And she goes, and now God is blessing and teaching something about the family of God. Watch this now. Better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom. I wonder, Brother Don, the Bible don't say this, but I wonder how many times Naomi said, it is good. It is good. It is good. God, I'm glad my failure wasn't final. God, I'm glad Ruth was willing to follow. God, I'm glad you pointed her to the right feet. God, I'm glad she met Boaz. God, I'm glad. I don't know what all that went through Naomi's heart, but I want you to know this. She's like we ought to be. She's a happy camper. Because God has done took a bad situation and turned it completely around for His honor and for His glory. And God can do that, beloved. He can bring us to the place where we're saying, just like Naomi, it is good. And the Bible said here, Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it, and the woman, the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. Now, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, the son wasn't born to Naomi. The son was born to Ruth. That's just how they looked at things back then. Amen? Amen? But I'm going to give you something here, beloved. Listen, you know what Obed means? Naomi said, don't call me Naomi. I went out. Yeah, that was pleasant. My name means pleasant, but I've come back. Call me Mara. It's a bitter situation. And the women, and listen, I know this. There is no way that Ruth and Naomi could have been Baptists. There's no way. Ain't no Baptist, Hannah, would have let somebody else name their baby. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said the women called him Obed. But they got it right. You know what Obed means? Worshipper. Oh, God took this whole mess and made a situation out of it where somebody would want to cry out, it is good, and want to worship the God of heaven. Amen. Let me give you this. You might say, well, why was Boaz willing to have anything to do with Ruth? I got an idea. Anybody know who Boaz's mommy was? Rahab. Study it out. He saw the grace of God in his mommy's life. Mommy wasn't a Jew. Say amen. Matter of fact, she was a prostitute. She was a harlot. You say, Pastor, you teaching us something about the family. Let me teach you a little something else. Go to Matthew. You don't have to turn there, but go to Matthew. And you know who you're going to find in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus? You're going to find Rahab. And you're going to find Boaz. Are you listening to me? And you're going to find Obed. And you're going to find Jesse. And you're going to find David. All because there's a God in heaven that can turn things around in such a way that God's people can say, it is good. Yeah. It is good. It is good. Amen. Let me give you this, and I'm finished this morning. Everywhere in the Scripture, Everywhere in the scripture you see Rahab's name, Brother Mike. It says the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. With the exception of one place, and that is in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad when you get in this family, Brother Wayne, God leaves the mess off? And I can stand here and say, it is good. But he ain't going to hold that mess against me. But he's forgiven me. He's washed me. He's helped me by his grace. Let's pray this morning. The ladies are going to come and sing. If you need this altar, I encourage you. If you're not saved especially, you might have come in today and you say, I can't say anything is good. Well, you can leave saying it's good. It's good to know the Lord. Let me say this morning. You may be here today and you may have failed the Lord miserably. Please, please get a hold of this. That failure doesn't have to be final. Amen. God is a God of mercy and grace. He can help you this morning. If he wasn't willing to pick somebody up off the bottom, I still wouldn't be in the ministry. God has helped me. He's helped me along the way. And I thank him for that. Father, this morning, you know the hearts and lives of your people. You know the needs. I don't know them, Lord. You know every one of them. You know every heart. You know every life. You know who is saved. You know who's not saved. You know who is surrendered. You know who's not surrendered. God, I just pray today, Lord, that each one of your children that are gathered here today would find their place in your field. Lord, that you might just give us a great harvest. And Lord, it's not all about numbers, but Lord, the joy it brings to our heart to see people's lives changed by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for Brooklyn. Thank you for Emily. Thank you for Devin. And I just look forward to seeing what you're going to do next, Lord. Would you just help us? Lord, would you help us? Help us. You know every need at the church, Lord. I don't have to tell you. You know what we need. Would you help us, Lord? Help our missionaries today, Lord. And I pray, God, that in this invitation we would mind you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together.